This morning we are going to think about depression. A foundational work, before I continue, quick overview of depression. First of all, definition. What is depression? Depression is a mental disorder. Mental means relating to the mind, relating to disorders of the mind. I looked up Mayo Clinic as well as WebMD sites. Symptoms, Mayo Clinic says, such as feelings of sadness, tearfulness and emptiness and hopelessness. Angry outbursts, irritability or frustration, even over small matters. Loss of interest or pleasure in most or all normal activities such as sex, hobbies, or sports. Sleep disturbances, including insomnia or sleeping too much. Tiredness and lack of energy, so even small tasks take extra effort. Reduced appetite and weight loss, or increased cravings for food and weight gain. Anxiety, agitation, or restlessness. Slowed thinking, speaking, or body movements, and feelings of worthlessness or guilt, fixating on past failures or self-blame, trouble thinking, concentrating, making decisions, or remembering things, frequent or recurrent thoughts of death, suicidal thoughts, suicide attempts, or suicide, unexplained physical problems such as back pain or headaches. What about causes? WebMD says, a number of factors may increase the chance of depression, including the following. Abuse, past physical, sexual, or emotional abuse. May I add here, spiritual abuse too. Certain medications. We are not talking about drugs like, opioid or anything like that. It's more like prescribed drugs could trigger depression. What about conflict, personal conflicts or disputes with family members or friends? Death or loss, sadness or grief from the death or loss of a loved one. Genetics and major events, a new job, graduating or getting married and moving and losing a job or income, getting divorced or retiring. Other personal problems such as social isolation. You know, the other day I was reading an article about loneliness, and one statistic says 40% of Americans feel lonely, 4 out of 10. When we consider 50% of the people in America also have Facebook accounts, where you could have hundreds of friends, still you feel so lonely. Serious illnesses and substance abuse. Nearly 30% of people with substance abuse problems also have major or clinical depression. What about treatments? Once again, Mayo Clinic says very succinctly, medications and psychological counseling, psychotherapy, are very effective for most people with depression. Now, please note here that these approaches out there focus on things visible, measurable, and even mental. That's the definition of depression, mental disease. However, they are not focusing on the things invisible or spiritual. In secular approach, they do not talk about God, the devil, or sin, or forgiveness, or repentance. They try to relieve the symptoms, often lacking the solution to the root problem. So that's the groundwork. Now, the topic of depression itself is too broad for me to cover with a 20-minute long sermon. You know that. So what I'm going to do is that limit my focus and time on three things this morning. First of all, we will find out that depression is more than just a mental disease. It is a spiritual matter. Number two, I'm going to introduce you the secret of a depression-free life. Isn't that great? You'll find out. Finally, I'll introduce you three divine ways to handle depression. effective in both prevention and treatment. I'm going at 60 miles per hour, so you better just hold tight and go with me. Number one, depression is a spiritual matter. We must acknowledge first and foremost, depression is not God's will for you or anyone in that matter. He does not want you or me to be depressed or stay depressed. And here's why I say so. God commands us to, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, as this. We love to quote this. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now reason with me. If God wants you and me to rejoice always, as he commands, that means that he does not want us to stay sullen or gloomy all the time. If God wants us to pray without ceasing, he doesn't want us to be anxious at any time. If God wants us to be thankful even in bad circumstances, he doesn't want us to end our lives in any circumstance. Are you following me? Depression is not God's will for God's children. The second thing we must understand is that depression is a spiritual disease. Therefore, its treatment and prevention must begin and end with God. For instance, consider a case of depression caused by physical abuse. How can the victim get out of that depression? By overcoming evil with good, by forgiving the perpetrator and move on. What about a depression caused by our own bad choices, such as depression of substance abuse? Well, to get out of it, we must change our lifestyles, which the Bible calls repentance. What about a depression caused by the lack of life's purpose? You think someone whose life is so, you know, fine and everything's going so well, that person has no depression. No, they do, because of the boredom, lack of purpose and meaning. God can fix it by giving us the meaning and purpose in life too. Now, there are some depressions caused by spiritual attacks from our enemy, the devil. Such a case will go away when we resist and reject the devil. We must approach depression from a spiritual point of view. Now, another one is this. Depression is a heart issue. When I'm talking about heart, it's not the heart that, you know, pumps out the blood. The heart in the Bible is the innermost seat of a person. It houses both emotions and thoughts, along with will and intellect. It's like a heart is like an open bowl where three beings that can throw into any thoughts or feelings. Well, who are they? Three beings. God, you and me, us, and the devil. Now consider a case of depression, the case of spiritual manipulation of the devil. Did you know that the devil implanted in Judas' heart the thought of betrayal of his master, Jesus? Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, right? Judas thought it was his own idea. Later on, Satan manipulated Judas' feelings of guilt and shame that he eventually hanged himself. Now, I want you to see the pattern as I do. By the way, read John chapter 13, verse 2 especially. The pattern is here. Devil threw the thought of betrayal into Judas' heart. And then he felt remorse later on, remorseful, and guilt and shame, and he ended up with suicide. Pattern is thought, remorse, guilt, shame, and suicide. And this is the pattern of depression that our enemy devil utilizes often enough to steal your happiness, to kill you, and to destroy your life. I was quite impressed with what I've just said to you, right? Because it is not my own words. I was just quoting what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, who says here, the thief, referring to the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He continues, I came that my sheep may have life and have it abundantly. Now, when I say prevention and treatment of depression are spiritual, this is what I mean. In depression, destructive thoughts and negative feelings march into our hearts. We cannot do it. I feel like so overwhelmed with them. And how do you overcome such destructive thoughts and feelings? Only one way. By bringing them one by one under God's control. How do we do it? Through our spiritual discipline. Trust and obedience to God's word. Listen again to the word of God. Paul is talking about spiritual battle here. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And listen, and he says, we are taking one thought, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We all go through, you know, you think, this is the only thing that I go through. No, almost everyone, human beings, have the negative thoughts, destructive thoughts coming in. As I said, against their will. They didn't initiate, but the devil tried to destroy and kill you. He throws all these negative thoughts into your heart. Okay? In those moments, whenever you realize, uh-oh, this is not good, what you do, take that thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Again, this requires some practice and discipline. And I'll, you know, hopefully sometime later I'll continue on. Now, what I'm saying is that there's no other way, no better way than God's ways. God's word is the best antidepressant. Now, I told you that I'm going to introduce you the secret to a depression-free life. Okay? Now, consider Paul's life in today's text, the 2 Corinthians. It's, you know, Paul's description of his life, what he had been through. And how would you feel and how would you react if your life were like his, constantly exposed to danger and adversity, nakedness and hunger and thirst, you name it. And the text doesn't mention it, but Paul also had a lifelong disease. Scholars believe that either was epilepsy or eye disease. He asked God, Lord, you've used me to heal so many people, why don't you heal me? And God says, Paul, let it be. So Paul took the lifelong disease for the rest of his life. Very tough one, either epilepsy or, you know, eye disease. Day after day and for years. Maybe there are some people out there who were born adventurous, would love such a life, filled with thrill and suspension. Most of us, however, myself included, would rather prefer a life of peace and quiet and would desperately search for a way out from such adversities. Had we been through such adversities like Paul's, some of us might have been depressed and stayed depressed. Yet amazingly, no signs of depression are found in his life. Never. Rather, he persevered and he overcame. Now, even to the point where Paul was sitting in a dungeon, prison, and writing a letter to the Philippians, exhorting them to rejoice. How could a person sitting in a dungeon asking people out there to rejoice? The real question is this. How did he do it? What made him spiritually so strong that life's hardships could not hold him down? Now, one thing I can tell you is this. Paul had a purpose in life. Christ was his purpose that helped him endure adversities, suffering, and pain. You name it. This is what he says in Philippians. Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. From every single sentence, you hear him saying, Christ, Christ, Christ. Listen again, he says, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Again, he says, I don't care about my own life. All I care is to spread the gospel of the grace of God. Now, because of Christ in him, nothing was able to keep his spirit down, even for a short time. May I say, a purpose-driven life keeps us going without getting depressed? So what's your purpose in life? What is it? It should be Christ. Listen again, Paul. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Once again, you hear him saying, Christ, Christ, Christ. The way I see it is this. When you and I are so consumed with passion for Christ, to please him and to love others as Christ has loved us, we have no time to throw a pity party for ourselves. That's how I see it. Christ is the secret to a depression-free life. And the rest of my sermon I'm going to devote to the three ways to handle our depression. And they are all found in the Bible to prevent and treat depression. I may call them three spiritual pills. Three commandments of Jesus. They are rejoice, pray, and thank in all circumstances. Rejoice, pray, and thank. First, rejoice. Now, this one requires some exercise and our will and even discipline, because there's some people just can't rejoice. They're so serious all the time. And we need to learn to rejoice in the Lord, as the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. That means that the power and strength to rejoice is not coming from ourselves, it's from the Lord. Remember, whenever you try to rejoice, remember that you are a child of God. And each time you rejoice, your heavenly Father is delighted. We all are parents one time, or some of us still are, and grandparents. Imagine this, your child coming in, your daughter, for example, and she's oh so glum and gloomy all the time. And say, what's the matter, child? Versus a child always bubbly and come and dance and sing for you. And of course, you'd be delighted with a girl who's dancing and rejoicing all the time. Not that you're showing favoritism, but you would show concern. What's the matter with you? So that's what we do as a child of God when we rejoice. Our Father in heaven is delighted. Learn to rejoice despite circumstances. Learn to rejoice not because all things going well, but because you want to please your Father in heaven. Learn to rejoice not because you have something to celebrate, but because you want to keep his command. Your habit of rejoicing will keep you from sadness and tearfulness. Number two. Pray without ceasing. Did you know that prayer is the best antidote for anxiety? From time to time, I run into the Christians, say that, you know what? I'm so worried all the time, so worried all the time. I always say, remind them, then pray. One of them is my mother. My mother always worried about something. I said, Mom, whenever she started talking about her worries, right when she's done, I said, Mom, let's pray. That's what we do. Now, in today's text, the psalmist, in the midst of depression, as you could see, cries out to God in prayer, saying, come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Do not turn away from me, or I will die. It is called prayer. Praying without ceasing will keep you in the hope of divine deliverance. Praying has something to do with hope. The final thing is to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, I recommend you, I did it before, practice every morning, as soon as you open your eyes, practice every morning to be grateful for 10 great things going on. I do this one every morning. Even this morning I did. Lord, thank you so much for giving me life. Thank you so much for my health. Thanks for my family. Thanks for my church family. Thanks for my church finances. All these things, right? 10 things easily you can come up with. Be specific. When you're done with good things, then you start being thankful for 10 not so great things. You can call it bad things, terrible things, whatever you name it. Now I'm using the separately between grateful. To me, grateful is always good thing, associated with good things. I'm so grateful. But thankful means that it just overcomes not so great things. So I said grateful for 10 great good things and thankful for 10 not so great things. Now, being thankful never means that you are so glad that such bad things happened to you. No. Even though you wish that they never happened, or even though you wish them gone away, still you be thankful. And how you do it? By putting your trust in God and in His goodwill, trusting that God will make all things, both good and bad, in due time for good. Okay? Being thankful means that to entrust your life in His mighty and faithful hands. It also means that you submit yourself to God day in, day out. As Psalmist did in today's text, he says, "Show me, Lord, where to walk, for I give myself to you." By giving thanks to God, folks, you give yourself to God each day. So I spoke to you, rejoice, pray, and thank, especially for bad ones. Now listen to the psalmist one more time. In verse 8, he says, "Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you." If you're serious about staying away from depression or even defeating the depression, you will make sure that you hear of God's unfailing love each morning from God's Word. That's why I cannot overemphasize the importance of getting into the Word of God. You're doing a great disservice if you stay away from the Bible. You have nobody to blame but yourself. You have to get into the Word of God so that what? You may hear God's unfailing love each morning. So, for a quick summary, have Christ as your life purpose. And reinforce your efforts by rejoicing and praying and being thankful in all circumstances with God's Word every day. And you will not be depressed. Let's bow our heads and pray. First of all, Lord, teach us not to trust our own emotions, especially in bad circumstances. Depression is a mental disease, especially when we follow feelings and thoughts we have, especially those negative and destructive thoughts and feelings. In each moment like that, Lord, help us to stop and take captive of every negative and destructive thought, to bring it down to the obedience of Christ and reject them. That's the first step. Yes, Lord, help us to rejoice, help us to pray without ceasing, and help us to be thankful in all circumstances. That's the way to go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.